continue our conversation on prayer. We have been in this several-week dialogue about contending, learning what it means to become prayer revolutionaries, where not only does prayer revolutionize our own life and our faith, but the circumstances around us and the lives of those around us as we learn to contend not only for our own situations, but for those that we're seeing in our families, in our community, in our church, and even in the world. I think it would be a great time to pray as we get ready to look at the Word. Sound good?
Yes.
Would you join me? God, we want to open up our spirits before you. Lord, it's so easy to think that either I can not be a person of prayer for whatever reason, or on the other side, that I already know everything I need to know about prayer. Lord, we don't want to fall into either of those pits. Lord, we want something from your word to illuminate our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that we would learn to be people who contend in prayer and commune with you in prayer. Lord, in ways that will be transformative in our story. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You have a handout there, and near the top there is a scripture. Would you read with me Philippians 4:6? Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God." In everything we're to pray, at all times, in every circumstance, that no matter what we're facing, the big things and the small, there's nothing too big for God, there's nothing too small to pass his care and concern. In everything, we're to pray. But here's what I want you to see about this particular verse. It says, don't be anxious about anything, in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I want you to see that in that one little verse, there are four different words that are used as these expressions of what we bring before the Lord. And in case you just think that that was some author trying to make it sound really pretty and poetic in English, I want to tell you that if you went back to the original language and looked at the Greek that this was originally penned in, there are four different words that are used, all in the expression of this prayer, this contending in prayer, this communing with God in prayer, four different words. In another scripture, we're told to pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. And I want to tell you this morning that there is not just one kind of prayer, that there's all kinds of prayers. Listen, we do not serve a cookie cutter God. He's the God of the universe. He created everything. So would it be surprising to you that there are many ways in which we can pray? And not only do we not have a cookie cutter God who's just one way all the time, he created us with that beautiful diversity built into who and what you are, and who and what I am. How many of you have ever taken the Myers-Briggs personality assessment? Has anybody ever taken the Myers-Briggs test? It's a really famous one. A lot of employers will use that. I see some hands. I've taken that. I'm gonna tell you a little bit more about me than you may want to know. I am an ENFJ. ENFJ. Thank you, Greg, for that moral support. The ENFJ, we're told, is only statistically held by 2.5% of the population. It's way down on the list of people that have maybe that type of personality type. The interesting thing about the Myers-Briggs is it says that there are 16 basic personality types that exist within, you know, the broad spectrum of humanity. 16. I happen to be the ENFJ type. But when you think about it, if there's potentially those 16 basic personality types, then multiply that by things like your gender and things like maybe even your spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has put within you. Then think about maybe the generation in which you were raised and some of those generational tendencies. Or how about just your genetics, how you were individually wired. Maybe your ethnic background. Maybe your socioeconomic background. Because I think all of those factor in to who we are uniquely. There are billions, in other words, of different kinds of people, different shapes and colors and propensities and things that we're passionate about, things that motivate us a little differently than even the person next to us, even if we are very close genetically to that individual. We're all uniquely made. God doesn't use cookie cutters to make people. He crafts each one of us uniquely. So is it any surprise that prayer would also reflect the diversity of how God made each one of us? I believe that we need to grow comfortable recognizing that there's probably a certain kind of prayer that is going to fit who I am, right? Now, those of you that know me and even the E in my Myers-Briggs personality profile indicates that I am extroverted, that I enjoy a lot of social interaction. There's on the other side, there's the I's, those that are more introverted, those that are a little more introspective, those that don't need as much social interaction. And you know what? That's going to influence probably some of the way that we pray. I don't have anything within me that would keep me from just saying, let's pray and let's go for it and passionately get after things in prayer. But that may not be everyone's cup of tea. And that's okay, because God has wired each one of us differently. Because I believe that someone who may even be a little bit more reserved, a little bit quieter, a little bit more introverted, can still pray passionately. But it's going to look a little different. It may sound a little different. You may see someone who's quieter or more introspective. You may just see them down on their knees with even tears coming down as they're just reflecting so deeply on whatever circumstance it is that they're praying for. While I'm just walking around, I'm pacing. In fact, I remember one time pacing while I'm praying, and somebody comes up to me and starts praying for me because they're like, oh man, this person's dealing with all kinds of anxiety. And it's like, no. This is how I pray. I'm a mover. I want to be active sometimes when I'm praying. You know, so you don't need to pray for peace over me. I got peace. But this is the way prayer comes out of me, because I'm like marching when I pray. Right? I mean, because we're all just kind of different. But that's okay. So I think that we need to come to a place where we accept that, like, man, there's probably a style of prayer that's going to fit me, and that's okay. But here's the other side of the equation. There's always two ways that we can look at something. One is that we need to become comfortable recognizing, okay, God knows who I am, and there's probably a particular prayer style that fits who I am. But on the other side, we don't want to grow too comfortable. We don't want to grow too comfortable in a life of prayer that would, like, we could just kind of like, well, this is just who I am, this is the way I pray, and that's the end of the story. I believe that there are so many diverse ways that we can pray, that there are times when God is going to call us to step out of our comfort zone and begin to pray in ways that maybe we would not naturally have gravitated toward, but that we would get the spirit of being like prayer adventurers. People who would like, God, if this is in your word and you show that there are different kinds of ways to pray, then God, I want to be sensitive to your spirit about stepping out in new ways to pray, that I would never become too comfortable. Because when we become too comfortable, prayer, this could sound terrible, but could actually become stagnant in our lives. I've been there. Or prayer might even feel boring. And can I tell you, God is not boring. And God is not stagnant. And he does not invite us into this spiritual practice for us to become stagnant or to feel bored. I don't want to pray. It's boring. Well, then maybe choose a new way to pray. Maybe you've slipped into being so comfortable with who you are and that one way that you've prayed so often, that God is wanting this morning to stir in your spirit something that would say, I am willing to become that prayer adventurer, to go down a new path, not departing from anything biblical, but to say, God, I want to see how else I may be stirred to pray. I believe that as we take on both of those realities, that who I am, and that's okay, but that I want to have this spirit of adventure and prayer, that I believe that it'll help us in this journey of becoming revolutionaries in our prayer life, becoming prayer revolutionaries that learn how to contend with what's going on in our story and in the world around us. Now, even though there are many different kinds of prayer, we've been talking over these past weeks that there are some common denominators. Remember what a common denominator is? If you go all the way back to third or fourth grade, when they teach common denominators, you know, if I gave you the number 10, there are some common denominators. What is a common denominator to the number 10? 5 is a common denominator. What would also be a common denominator? 2 would be a common denominator. Is 1 a common denominator? I don't remember. Richard, is yes, 1. So we got 1, we've got 2, and we've got 5 that are all common denominators to the number 10. Well, in prayer, I believe that we see some common denominators. Now, there may be more than this, but the ones that we've been looking at through this series that have really impacted my life, I think I will always be shaped in prayer by what I've been discovering along with you, church family, that every time I pray, that I am having this faith declaration about who God is. And we've been talking about these 3 things. Number 1, every time I pray, it's a faith declaration that he is here. He's here. That when I pray, it is a faith declaration about the presence of God. In fact, I would say the prayer makes no sense if we do not have a faith conviction that God is present. If God just simply flung us out into creation, fend for yourselves, whoop, prayer would really make no sense because, well, I guess it's just up to you and me, and I ain't praying to you. So why would I pray to a God who just flung us out there into the universe without some sort of relational connection? We've been looking at different scriptures about these realities, but I want to show you this one. It's 1 John 3:24. And John writes and he says, those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him. Isn't that beautiful? We remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us. Would you say those words with me? We know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. He is here. And every time we pray, there is that faith declaration to God, you're here. You listen when I pray because you are right here with me. And so we are stirring up our faith every time we pray, no matter what kind of prayer we're praying, or whether you're extroverted or introverted. Every time you pray, there's that declaration that, God, you're here. The only way the prayer makes sense is that if you are present in my story, walking with me, thank you that you've given me your Spirit to live with me. The second common denominator we've been talking about in prayer is that not only is God here, but that he is good. He is good. Again, prayer makes no sense if God is not good. It is because he is faithful and loving, and that he is for us, not against us, that it gives us this confidence to approach our God in prayer. Because he is good, I can bring things to him, all kinds of things, and trust that he is for me, not against me. In James 1:17, and you may have heard this in different translations, that every good and perfect gift is from above, but I want to read this to you in the Message Bible. I love the way that this is paraphrased. James 1:17 talks about God's goodness. Listen to these words. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. See, because he's good. And part of that goodness is reflected in his faithfulness. So he's not two-faced. He's not like one way on Sundays, no Jasmine, it's Sunday, and you're here in church, so now I'm smiling on you, giving you this, I love, what does it say, that river of light cascading from heaven is upon you. But tomorrow, well, that's Monday, I'm sleeping in tomorrow, right? And all of a sudden, God becomes different. Or because you blow it, something happens and you mess up and you do something, all of a sudden you lose God's favor. It's not the way it works. We're his kids, and we always live in his favor. Are there consequences for our choices? Yeah. But do we ever lose his love, his goodness for us? No, we never do. And every time we pray, there's this faith declaration that, God, not only are you here, but you're good. So I can run to you in every circumstance. I can pray and bring anything to you because I know that you are for me. You're not against me. And the third thing that we've been looking at as a common denominator is that he is Lord. He is Lord. Prayer makes no sense if God is not the Lord over all. Let me put it this way. If there was another Lord, if there was another God who was above our God, then we should be praying to him. Or her. Sorry. I want to be gender neutral there. But there's not. We serve the God who is above all gods, whose name is above every other name. There is no other name given to men by which we may be saved. We have a connection with the God of the universe, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every time we pray, it is this declaration of his lordship. You are here. You're good. And you're Lord. And because you're Lord, there is nothing that is impossible for you. I can bring anything to you and know that you are over all things. I believe these are the common denominators. I got to show you a scripture, though, as we just kind of show you throughout scripture where these things continue to be echoed over and over again. And in 1 Chronicles 29:11, King David spoke these words in a prayer to the Lord as they were getting ready to dedicate the temple. And King David says this. He says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty." I mean, David is like locked and loaded here. You want to learn how to pray? We'll talk about this in a little bit. Go through the Psalms. Read David's words and how he prayed and talked with the Lord. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." And when we pray, that is who we are praying to. Prayer only makes sense because we know God is present. He's here with us. He's good. He's for us, not against us. And he is the Lord over all things. There is no one higher. And when we pray, I believe those three things are common denominators in all our prayer. But there's this multitude of kinds of prayers that we will find throughout Scripture. But I want to, in keeping with this, these three things, that he's here, he's good, and he's Lord, I want to talk about prayer in those three kinds of categories and just reflect on those with you for the next moments. And then before we're done, I want to give you five things that I believe will stimulate and activate lives of greater prayer. Kind of pro tips for prayer adventurers, okay? But let's look at some of the different kinds of prayers that we are called to pray. And as we talk about these, I think I would suggest that in your notes that you might circle some of the ones that are maybe most comfortable to you, and then underline ones that are like, you know what, that's something that I've never really learned to do, to pray that way. And so you have this like little running list of things I'm more comfortable in, and then other things that like, no, I wanna learn how to pray that way too. The first kind of prayer, kind of the category, is a reflection on that God is here. And these are prayers of presence. Prayers of presence. The first one that is there, already kind of bulleted out there for you, is repentance and salvation. And this is when we recognize that God, I don't feel your presence. And God, I don't think that I've ever entered your presence. Or maybe I've entered your presence before, but God, there's so much that I've done, so many things in my story and in my life that I have turned away from you, turned my back on you, but now, God, I am turning to you. And you know, that's what the word repentance actually means, is to turn. When we know we've been walking in sin, repentance is turning from that sin. Sorry, I'm turning from the side of the room here. I'm not saying anything negative about you. But it's literally repentance is turning away from that and turning to God. And saying, God, I am leaving behind that which was my story and the things that I had been engaging in, and I'm repenting, I'm turning from those, and I'm turning to you. And when we pray prayers of repentance and of salvation, saying, God, would you forgive me? I want to be your child. I want to enter your presence. Man, it changes everything in our story. King David, the same one who prayed that amazing prayer of who God is in his amazing glory and lordship. He also had times of really blowing it, messing up, sinning terribly, alienating himself from God, turning from God to other things. And in Psalm 51, it captures one of these prayers of presence, of restoring himself into relationship with the Lord. In Psalm 51, and you could read the whole psalm later, but here's just a few verses from there, where David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love." See how he ties it to the goodness of the Lord? Not because of anything he had deserved, but because of God's goodness. He knew that he could approach the Lord of the universe. "Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash me, clean me from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight." So he's owning his stuff. He says, "I know that I walked away from your presence to pursue these other things. This is on me. But because of your goodness, Lord, I trust you and I come to you." And then he goes on and says this in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." Wow. God, that restoration to your presence. Repentance. Salvation. Another way that we pray a prayer of presence is through silence. It's something we've been discovering together as a church family. If those of you that have participated already in our emotionally healthy spirituality courses, and I think we've had over 150 from our church begin to participate in those over the last year. And part of what we're discovering is learning to slow down our lives to connect with God more fully. And so one of the practices that we're discovering that is a biblical practice, because God told us to be still and know that I am God. And we're learning to still our own hearts. And even this morning, and as I was preparing to come and be here, one of the things I did this morning was just sit at my kitchen table and just in the stillness of that moment, close my eyes, close my mouth, and just spend time with the Lord. Reflecting on the great grace that I get to dive into every day. And to his love that not only I get to dive into, but then I get to splash on others throughout the day. Silence is so beautiful. And you know, we hear in Scripture about waiting on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. I think that as we practice the prayers of silence, that we're actually learning to wait in the Lord. For me, I sometimes even picture myself diving into a pool of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, of his kindness. All of those things that are characteristic of God, I think when we're silent, we actually experience those at a different level than when we are articulating and all the words are coming from our mouth. Sometimes God just wants to remind us in prayer of who he is. And I think one of the most beautiful forms of a prayer of presence is when we're silent before him. And guess what? It still is prayer, because prayer is communing with God. And I see a newly married couple over here, the Bautistas. Good to see you. One of the most beautiful things about being that newlywed couple is that sometimes you talk a lot, and then there's other times when just being with my baby is good enough. And sometimes it's even more. When we're just in that person's presence and we just know they're the fullness of their love for us and they know the fullness of our love. What a beautiful thing. Be in the presence of the Lord. And this last bullet there you see is worship. And prayers of worship. Prayers when we are reflecting back to God who he is. And our thankfulness, our gratefulness for all that he has done. Prayers when we're not asking something of God, but we're declaring in commune with him, in communication with him. God, you are glorious. You are wonderful. You are great. You are Lord. You are over all things and over all situations. Prayers of presence. Second category that I see is related to his goodness to us. His goodness. And these are prayers of help. Prayers of help that we turn to God for help because we know that he is good and that he is for us. He is working for our benefit. And prayers of help. One of the kinds of prayers of help is what is known as intercession. And if you're not familiar with that word, that's a biblical word. You'll see that we are to intercede for others. Intercede is a word that means that you are going on behalf of another. Like if you ever pictured like your kid really getting in trouble at school, like they really blew it. Right? They really messed up. And then you like, oh no, like they really did it this time. I'm going to go to the principal and I am going to beg for mercy on behalf of my idiot child. And you going and having those conversations, you are interceding on behalf of your child who blew it and probably doesn't deserve mercy. Right? But you're going and you're interceding. That's what intercession is. And intercession is when we know that someone is facing an issue. They're going through something. They're going through pain. Maybe they have a diagnosis that is so troubling. And when you intercede on behalf of someone else, you're literally going before God and you're saying, God, in your mercy, in your grace, in your power, and in your love. Lord, would you bring all those things, Lord, to my friends? Would you bring all those things, Lord, to this situation? Interceding on behalf of others. When Paul wrote to his friends and said, contend with me. Join me in my struggle through prayer. He was inviting them, reminding them, urging them to be intercessors. To pray for others, to pray for me. And guess what? We also learn that we can intercede for ourselves. That we can sometimes be our best intercessor because we know a lot of the stuff that we're facing and going through. And God welcomes us to bring all of our stuff, even as we plead on behalf of our own needs and our own circumstances. One of the ways that we intercede is for healing. Healing is so needed in our world. There's so much sickness, there's so much disease, there's so much brokenness, there's so much decay, right? In our bodies, in our world. James 5, 13 through 15 reminds us of this. James writes and says, are any of you suffering hardships? Well, you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. We're to pray for each other, to intercede for each other. and to pray specifically for healing. Are you sick? Let's pray. Anticipating God's breakthrough power to show up in miraculous ways. Anointing you with oil. We do that. We anoint people with oil. Not because the oil has any magical properties, but because it is a symbol of God's presence. It's a reminder that God is here. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, is that anointing with oil. And so when we anoint with oil, it's that reminder that he is here, he is good, and he is Lord. And he's at work right here in this situation. But it says to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And there's that reminder that we're not doing this in our own name. We're not doing this in the name of the Santa Maria Four Square Church. We are praying for people and for healing. We're interceding in his name, in his authority. We'll come back to that in a moment. And then we also pray for redemption. So many things need God's redeeming touch. Brokenness of relationships. Brokenness of financial situations. Where God just needs to redeem a whole thing and bring it back to a point of health. And we intercede for those things. Saying, God, you are good. And I need your goodness right here. Would you help? Would you bring help? Third category of prayer is what I'm calling prayers of authority. And this is based on the fact that he is Lord over all things. And that we have been given the right to pray in his name. Like we've been deputized, right? We have been deputized in his power, not our own authority, in his authority. We have been called Christ's ambassadors, fully representing him when we walk into any situation. So we get to pray prayers of authority, but they're not based on how good we've been. We've got everything figured out, that we're living a perfect life, but because we're walking under his authority as his ambassador. Prayers of authority. One of the things we read about in Scripture is this concept of binding and loosing. In Matthew 18:18, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Different translations use different words, but I like that concept of binding things up and setting other things free, loosing. When I moved to Santa Maria 4 years ago, Santa Maria had been in you know, when statistically, when what the police department would tell you is that we'd been actually doing pretty well as a city. But when I came here 4 years ago, it was the year that we went from seeing 4 murders the year before to 17 that year that I arrived. And it really felt like all hell was breaking loose. It's like every weekend it seemed like there was another shooting, another killing. And our church gathered, and I know other churches gathered, and we were interceding. But this was not just saying, God, would you help those who have lost people? These were prayers of authority. This is what I would really reference as binding and loosing. Binding up a spirit of murder and of violence and aggression that would come over a community. And we cried out to the Lord, God, would you bind up those things that would cause people to believe that that is the solution, that that is the answer, that violence would somehow create opportunities or something of any kind of life. God, would you bind up that foolishness? Would you bind it up? And would you loose over us a spirit of peace in our community, in our city? And it was during that time of intercession is when, of course, law enforcement was working behind the scenes and made many, many arrests and helped to bring a solution that had been eluding our community. I am so grateful for our police forces and that they work on our behalf to create a context in which we can live at peace with one another. But I'll tell you who's over the police. And his name is Jesus. And he not only is the Lord over all, but has given us his authority to walk in. And has told us to pray prayers of authority. And there are times when we need to recognize that there is something spiritual going on. As we learn in Scripture that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against gangs or gang members or murderers. He says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spirits and powers, principalities. There's spiritual forces at work. And when we recognize that, hey, this is more than just a human condition, hell is at work here, that's when we need to be sensitized in the spirit to become prayer revolutionaries and to begin to say, God, we need to bind that up in your authority. In your authority, God. Bind up that hellish work that is at work in my life or in my family's story where hell is wanting to somehow gain some sort of an advantage to bring ruin, to bring brokenness. God, I want you to loose a spirit of life and of peace, of reconciliation where there's been brokenness, binding and loosing. These are prayers of breakthrough. It's not just prayers of interceding for a particular situation or a particular point of brokenness, but it's like we need to break through the whole issue. We need to break past where we've been stuck. Think about these things with people that have struggled with addictions for a long time. And we'll intercede. I mean, we'll pray for God's goodness to be poured out upon them. But there needs to be like a prayer of breakthrough in that person's story. Have you been there? Have you experienced his breakthrough power? I have. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. And these are prayers of authority. Can I just be real with you as your pastor? That we don't just like, we find a friend is struggling with addiction. Oh, Lord, just help them. Oh, God, you're a good God. You just love my friends so much. No. God has given us his authority to walk in. And we can bind up those things that have been coming against our friends, our family members, our children. When we would declare freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom. In your authority, God, you have given us your power to walk in. Breakthrough power. In Jesus, we declare it. We declare it in his name, in his authority. Learn to pray breakthrough prayers. Amen. The last example I gave here about prayers of authority is that also praying prayers of anointing. We see this when the Apostle Paul was sent out on a missionary journey. But I'll tell you, for every circumstance or in every time of transition, praying prayers of blessing and anointing for that particular season. Many of you know that this last year that Pastor Kelly, my wife, was elected by our district to represent our entire district on the Foursquare Board of Directors. She is a director of the Four Square Church. Wow, that's actually a really big deal. And as a member of the board of directors, they're right now going through a season of selection of who will be nominated as the president of our entire Four Square Church movement. And so she left this weekend to go tomorrow morning to begin that process. And yesterday, as she was getting ready to go and get in the car and depart, I just wrapped my arms around her and prayed a prayer of anointing, of blessing for this circumstance that she is going to be walking into, that God would give her the words to say at just the right moment, the sensitivity to say, what is the Holy Spirit doing in these conversations that you need to be sensitized, and the courage to speak up and say those things that need to be said. At the beginning of each school year, as our kids were growing up, our tradition was on the night before classes would begin to gather the kids to take oil and to anoint them and say, God, they're walking into some potentially hostile territories. Hostile to them maybe physically, hostile to them spiritually. We don't know what all they're going to encounter, but God, you go with them. You protect our children, body, mind, and spirit. Watch over them, protect them, bless them. Listen, guys, these are prayers of authority. And if you're a parent, God has given you the authority over your kids. Use it to pray prayers of blessing and anointing over their lives. Prayers of presence, prayers of help, prayers of authority. Because Jesus is here. He is good and he is Lord. So here's five pro tips. Here you go. To activate incredible lives of prayer. Listen, there's many more than these, but these are five things that I have seen God use in my own story. So I don't want to get up here and preach about stuff that I don't practice or know anything about. I don't want to preach someone else's story. I want to preach my story. Is that okay? These are five things that I've seen in my own life be very, very powerful. Number one, praying with others. Sometimes, you know, I've seen this in other people's stories. You know, I grew up knowing the Lord, so this was never really a huge struggle for me. But I think that other people who maybe come to Christ later in life and they've got a lot of baggage as part of their story, and it's like they just don't feel comfortable because they didn't maybe grow up praying, and so they feel almost silenced, like, man, I just don't think I have anything to say. I don't think I have anything that would come out right. Get over yourself, because you're not praying to me and you're not praying to that other person. You're praying to the God of the universe, who gave you that mouth, so use it. Right? I say not in love, but the Bible tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. So go for it. And praying with others is particularly powerful. Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered, that I'm right there in your midst. Listen, pray with others. As you pray with others, not only are they being encouraged by the things that you're praying, but your faith grows as well as you're agreeing with them what they're praying. So don't just pray by yourself. If you want to find something to activate your prayer life, find someone else to pray with. Sometimes that's just one-on-one, maybe with your spouse or with a friend, a coworker who is a fellow believer in Jesus. But then there's also other opportunities. In the first Thursday in May coming up, we're going to be participating as a church in something called the National Day of Prayer. Did you know that in Santa Maria, we have the largest National Day of Prayer gathering in the entire state of California? Last year, we had about 650 people from all kinds of churches gathered together. And I have the opportunity of being part of kind of the leadership team for that. But listen, we believe in coming together as believers to pray. Activate your prayer life by joining with others in prayer. not just praying by yourself. Second thing, prayer journaling. Prayer journaling. It's so easy to pray one time and then forget what we've been praying about. Or when someone comes to you and says, hey, would you pray with me about this particular thing going on in my life? So what I've done is I've just taken my phone. I've got an iPhone. It's got this cool little notes feature in it. Now, I've got a whole prayer list. Some of you are on it. Okay? Won't embarrass you. And there's somebody on my prayer list that I put a little heart at the end because God answered something profound that we were praying about. Find some way that works for you to write down those things. Maybe if you use, you know, your Bible, you just take a piece of paper and put it under the cover and write things and put dates on them or whatever will work for you. In fact, I found a really cool prayer app for your phone. It's called Echo Prayer. If you just search on that, it's both iPhone and Android. Echo Prayer, you can keep your own prayer list. You can actually share prayer requests from there. I don't know if we'll ever use that as a whole church, but it's a cool app to use if you don't have something to use as a way to journal your prayers. Third, prayer walking. In fact, this Wednesday, I'm going to be gathering with a group of pastors from our city. We, through this year, each quarter, we've been walking and praying through each of the four districts in our city. And we're going to be in Northeast Santa Maria this Wednesday morning, walking and praying. You know, sometimes when you walk, God is going to give you insights to things that if you're just sitting in your bedroom praying, you're not going to see. But as you get out there and start walking your neighborhood and realizing, you know what, I think I know this family or I see a situation going on, or God just puts a burden in your heart for a particular group of people that live on your street, or a business. Man, during lunchtime, you get a lunch break at work and you start just going and walking around, you know, the part of town where you work and start praying for businesses. Start praying for people that you see on the street. Just begin to pray as you walk. God's going to give insight, and it can be a beautiful way to activate your prayer life. Third thing, praying through song. If you don't have sometimes your own words to pray, find a worship song or a hymn that is meaningful to you. Yesterday morning, we were praying for our dear friend, Pastor Luke, who I've shared with before, is battling terrible cancer. Back in North Carolina, and we've been praying for Luke just about daily, interceding for him. Yesterday morning, he had a real setback. He'd been rushed to ICU, and Kelly and I got word, and we just went to prayer for Luke. And as we're in the middle of our prayer, Kelly begins to sing. She begins to sing the words of the song we've been singing here. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. And just right in the middle of our prayer, Kelly just begins to sing out her prayer. Don't get stuck in how you pray. Find a song that begins to articulate something that will be very helpful in your prayer life. And we declared that over our friend Luke, that there would be no fear. And guess what? By the end of the day, we got a good report. Last thing, and I gave you a resource here, a little starter kit. Praying the word. To pray the word. To take scripture and to turn it into prayer. Let me give you an example. Flip it over to the back. It kind of goes through scripture. I think I got it kind of in order. There's a bunch of psalms and things from the Old Testament and New. But if you go all the way to the back, you're going to see that there's actually three that are from Philippians chapter 4. Because, man, Paul was just encouraging the church there. And that middle one there, Philippians 4:13, Paul declares, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Jesus, your word says, Lord, that I can do everything, not in my own strength, but through you. The God that you are the one that gives me strength. So God, I need your strength today. Lord, I am taking you at your word. I am declaring that promise over myself and over my situation. Well, that's a prayer. Pray the word. Declare God's word over whatever is going on. There may not be a stronger way to pray. Church family, we are learning to be people of prayer. Do not be silent. Do not give up. And whatever you do, don't grow stagnant or bored with your prayer life. Allow God to stimulate that natural part of who you are, because you don't have to pray like me. You can pray like you. But get out there and begin to discover new ways to declare who God is. Because every time we pray, we're declaring his presence, his goodness, and his authority, his lordship.